Hello and welcome on Resonance 104.4 FM. You're listening to The Circle Day with me, Yvette Gerez. Today's show is a show on one guy who's called Tony. He's an anarchist and I thought he was so interesting that I dedicated an entire show on him. When did you get involved with radical politics?
I started around animal rights and in about early 80s and got involved in animal rights, and a number of people that were involved in the animal rights movement were also anarchists, so I just started chatting to them and then suddenly realised that, you know, although I'm still a vegan, so still realised that animal rights, I still find it important, but you just realise that there's a lot of other things that are just as important, if not more important. So I started getting involved in anarchist politics in about 83, 84, and went to a couple of meetings. There was something called the Anarchist Communist Discussion Group, which was before the ACF, and there was people trying to set up something called the Anarcho-Anarchist Pacifist Group, and I went along to a couple of their meetings and they fell apart. And then after that, it was sort of poll tax days and sort of getting involved in that. So that's,
Okay. So, yeah, you were involved in opposing the poll tax, which many people claim was the... thing that brought down Thatcher. Can you say more about that, about the poll tax time?
Bringing down Thatcher or the poll tax?
Both. Worked together, the organising and...
I suppose the poll tax groups were what I would... I'd love to see that we have now, you know, in Haringey, where I was, we broke down in, we had ward level poll tax groups and they came together as a sort of Tottenham against poll tax, and then there was a Wood Green against poll tax, different areas of Haringey, and then the different areas of Haringey came together as Haringey against poll tax. And at some points we had street level groups. So I know in my street there was about 10 of us. And the idea was, if the bailiffs ever turned up, you've got the people in your street that can be there, not just phoning mates who are like 10 minutes away. So we really broke it. It didn't work fantastically in every area, but it worked really well. And then you had London against the poll tax. And there was a sort of embryonic sort of national anti-poll tax campaign around libertarian sort of ways. So it was really good that it went from sort of street level stuff right up to national stuff. And obviously the SWP and the Socialist, what was Militant, which is now the Socialist Party, were also involved, and they dominated a lot of groups. But there was, it was one of those issues, you could really just stand on a street corner and anyone would speak to you, and people wanted to talk politics. And I've stood on loads of street corners, like giving out newsletters or leaflets, and people walk by you. People actually wanted to stand and chat, and sometimes you'd have people that moaned at you, but a lot of times it was people that were angry, and people wanted to get involved, you know, and we'd have meetings that were meant to be a little ward-level group, and you get 40 or 50 people coming along. So, you know, a lot of us that are older go on about the poll tax, but it was one thing that brought a lot of people together to fight against something. And you did start getting an embryonic sort of idea of what I would like to see as a sort of anarchist sort of structure for things. So, no, it was very positive, you know, and a lot of people put in a lot of work. Unfortunately, a lot of those people after the poll tax were quite knackered, and therefore a lot of people sort of dropped out or burnt out, and a lot of people took years to get back involved in other stuff again. And that was a problem we didn't deal with that properly. But as a campaign, yeah, and a lot of libertarians and anarchists were involved in it, and there was a lot of libertarian and anarchist anti-poll tax groups, and a lot of people got sort of, but got to find out about anarchist politics, because even though you're in an anti-poll tax group, you then sit in a pub or a cafe or in the meeting, and you talk about your politics. So it was a good way of getting across how to organise and what some of us believed in. As for Thatcher, I think the one thing about poll tax was that you had sort of probably a derogatory term, but sort of Blue Rinse Brigade, sort of 50-year-old women in Surrey who were against the poll tax just because they thought it was unfair. And you had working class people from estates who thought it was unfair. And there was just so many different people who hated it. And, you know, you had the riot, but I wouldn't necessarily say the riot was the thing that brought down the poll tax or Thatcher. It was, there was groups everywhere of all different people, the, you know, workplace groups, fairly middle class, conservative types who were against it. And yeah, I think Thatcher brought it in, thinking she could attack the whole move, you know, attack the miners, attack the workers, get away with it. We can just attack everyone. And I think she was so confident that she could get it through, that when she didn't, a lot of her own sort of backbenchers, a lot of Tory faithful, just thought she's become a liability. Yeah, so from demos to people of her own sort of class having a go at her, I just think they just didn't want her anymore. And that was sort of led to her going.
What would you say you've learnt from that period of time?
Few things. One, out organise. A lot of us that were doing it at that time were very naive and did a lot of things wrong. But you learn different ways to do stuff. We learned a lot that one tactic alone isn't gonna be the be all and end all. That whether it's fly posting or meetings or standing on the street corner or just talking to people, there's loads of different tactics, and a lot of them have to go side by side. Street level organising, you know, it's like bringing. There seems to be a sort of you know, you get beyond about 10 people in a meeting, and somehow they don't necessarily get that much bigger. So you have 20 groups going on in an area like Haringey, and you'll get 5 or 10 people in each of those meetings. You have a Haringey wide meeting, you still sort of only get 10 or 20 people. So that whole idea of breaking it down, making meetings really local to where people live, and we would still like to do again what we're doing now. So you learn that. But also, when the poll tax finished, a lot of people dropped out. We were trying to get a lot. In Haringey, we carried on and formed Haringey Solidarity Group because we had a lot of links in Haringey. And we didn't want to lose that. A lot of groups around the country just stopped, thought the poll tax is over, we'll call it a day. And I think that was a really big mistake. And if it ever happened, if we ever got a campaign like that going again, I think people like me would be saying, you can't stop, even if it's single issue, you can't stop these groups. You've now got to turn them into something like community groups or like Haringey Solidarity Group or an anarchist group, a local anarchist group, whatever. And I think that was one of the failings that we had, that a lot of people just said, we're calling it a day now. And we had a fantastic, you know, there was a really good structure throughout the country. So that's a failing. And just supporting people so we don't get burnt out. A lot of people did a lot of work, and a lot of people left the anti-poll tax campaign before it finished because they just took on too much. And I think we need to think about how we give support to those of us that are doing too much and trying to, like, get them to have a life as well.
Following the poll tax period, Haringey Solidarity Group was established and continues today. What are some of the things HSC have done? One of the things was the Vistian?
Yeah.
In the occupation?
Yeah.
So Enfield, yeah, that was
one. There's been a lot of worker support stuff. When Vistian workers occupied their factory, which was in Enfield, just over the border from us, we went down, went into the occupation. The workers at that time were doing it without the trade union, so we went and offered them our bank account that they could put money into. We asked them what they wanted, and they wanted a printer, so we went and bought them a printer. We went and helped them on the picket lines when they came out of the factory. We knew cheap printers, we knew places they could get stuff that, you know, like banners done. We got in contact with Dean from Freedom because they needed the banner, and it's like, we just went down and said, we have these resources and we can support you, not take it over. And they, you know, offering them our bank account, they were a bit nervous about this strange group of people saying, you can put all your money into our accounts, keep it away from the union. But, you know, after a couple of weeks and they got to trust us, then they did. And they had a place where anyone from around the country who wanted to send them money. And I think about somewhere between about £3,000 and £5,000 went through our account, that it came into our account. And once a week I'd go down and just give cash to them. So that was really good. But before that, there was a Turkish and Kurdish workers went on strike. It was JJ Fast Foods. And again, we went down to them. And at that stage in Hohengay, it was a squatted centre. And we let them have meetings there. We let them organise from there. So saying to them again, there's these resources. And again, we would quite often go down to Workplace Struggles and just go down and say, there's a few of us, we will give you support. And people look strangely at you. You know, some of the Vistian workers that we spoke to since just said, we just didn't understand a group of people just turning up saying, we will support you. And they just thought it really weird. Why would people do this? But they, you know, all these people then start trusting you, and it's good to be able to say, we've got this infrastructure that we can help you with. But apart from that, we've done two different newsletters that have been going for like 20 years. We were involved in something called the Groundswell Movement that was claimants groups around the country doing lots of stuff around benefit issues. God, it's just, you ask me that, it's really difficult to think. There's just been, at the moment we're doing stuff around homelessness and something called gatekeeping. We're trying to set up workers groups again and offer, stand outside workplaces and offer workers support who want to set up independent working groups. We've sort of campaigned for stopping privatisation of local parks. We support Tottenham Law Centre, which was a voluntary organisation that was going to be cut. We knew people in there and they came along to us and said, can you help us out? So a lot of what we will do is support other people who want support. A lot of the stuff we do is trying to set up our own stuff. And there's the film group that's been running for about 6 years now. And we're just showing, they're political films, but they can be political in different ways. It's not what some of us call riot porn and sort of activist-y type stuff. The film we showed last week was about the Holocaust. The film we showed the month before was Attack the Block. And the idea is to get local people to come out their houses, trust us, and see a film that they would never normally see. And then we try and take people to a pub and chat about it afterwards. There's loads of other things we've done over the years. And on our website, there's a load of stuff.
Radical London's last meeting was packed. There's activity for establishing groups in every borough. What do you hope the aims for this is?
3 or 4 years ago, Hohengay Solidarity Group started the initiative. And we realised that no matter how effective we are in Hohengay, you can be as great as, we're not great, but you can be as fantastic as you want to be. But if you're the only ones doing it in one area, then we're not going to get a revolution. So we wanted groups similar to us, or people to do stuff similar to us, but if they want to go off and do it in different ways, that's great. In every borough in London, we want it in every area of the country. But we thought London's a big enough thing to start on first. And other people hopefully will start it in their areas. So the idea was to try and get other people to set up local groups, local libertarian, anarchist, community, whatever people want to call them, groups, to take action in their own areas. And there's been, you know, for the last 2 or 3 years, there's been some success. WAG was similar sort of thing to HSG in that they were a local group. There's been Action East End. There was a group in Walthamstow for a while. You know, there's now Hackney Anarchist Group who are calling themselves more like WAGWA, more overtly anarchist rather than solidarity group like us. You know, there's been talk about Croydon. As you know, there was people down in South London, turning the anti-fascist group into a community action group. People are talking about in Camden now. So our aim is still to get similar groups to ourselves in all 33 boroughs of London. And then whenever if any of us move, it means that you just don't lose people. They know that there's a group of people similar to them wherever they're going to move to. And, you know, there's groups like us outside Haringey. And we're not saying that HSG's sort of blueprint is necessarily the best way to do it. People have got to choose their own best way of doing it. We don't want everyone to think, oh, this is the way HSG do it, we'll have to do it that way. It's like the idea is people get together and see however they want to do it. But, you know, there's groups in Edinburgh, Brighton do it more around a community centre. There's groups in Bristol, you know, loads of places around the country. So hopefully if we can do it in London, then we start networking as well, sort of around the country. And instead of a London conference, we'll start having national conferences of local groups.
Yeah.
Which we tried about 2 years ago. We had one down in just off Cambridge Youth Road, which were local groups all around the country.
I think it was the Anarchist Book Fair 2 years ago at the Radical London meeting, and there was like sheets and sheets of people's sign-up sheets, basically, with lots of people's names and emails on it. So it's like a tremendous start, and you've got like actual like contacts there, don't you, that are just waiting to be kind of utilised. The interest is there.
Yeah. Like, I'm chatting to a couple of guys in Camden at the moment who want to look at setting a Camden Solidarity Network group type organisation up. And we've got 40 names of people from the last 3 or 4 years' book fairs of people who are interested. All of us know people that live in Camden as well. Mm. So on top of those 40 names, if something does get started, we all know some other people that might get involved. But yeah, there's at least there's a list of names. I think there's about 200 names from the last few book fairs of people wanting to get involved. Getting people to coordinate is always the problem. You know, people will get involved, but we're all doing more stuff than we should be. So getting one or two people to take on coordinating a borough or an area is the first stage. And once you've got one or two people that feel confident doing that, we have a number of, you know, names and email addresses of other people who will probably come and get involved. So, yeah, if anyone wants to do it in any of the boroughs where there isn't a group, get in contact with us at HSG and we can pass on names to you.
Yeah, a little plug there. Why not? Everyone knows you as Book Fair Tony. Did you know that? Because of your involvement in the Anarchist Book Fair. How has it changed, and what is the future for the Book Fair?
When I got involved in the Book Fair in about 98, 99, we was in Conway Hall, and there was something like 50 stalls and about 15 or 20 meetings. The creche was run by people who volunteered, and you went in there and there was quite often someone with a can of beer and a dog being the person running it. And as me having a young kid at that time, there would not be names on the rota, so a lot of us were really wary about leaving our children there. It was more of a social event than... Maybe I'm being unfair. I was going to say it's more of a social event than a political event. I could be being unfair. But the idea was to get involved and make it more organised. We, rightly or wrongly, and some people think wrongly, we got rid of selling beer just because you know, people can go to the pub down the road. We wanted to move away from that, getting pissed at the book fair and actually having political discussion. We, at the time, there was a couple of women who took on organising, they called it the Anarchist Creche, and they took on organising the creche. And since then, although they've gone away from it, we have a proper creche, and it's the one people that we will pay during the day because we want the creche run properly. We want, you know, a lot of us had kids. And if we're going to leave our kids somewhere for a few hours while we're going around stalls or in meetings, you want to know that they're being looked after properly. So, and if someone's going to sit in there for 10 hours looking after all of our kids, we just think they deserve some money for it. So they're the one people that get paid. But we've now got an older kids group. So, you know, a lot of those people with kids that were getting beyond the creche, we wanted to think of a way of keeping those kids interested. So there's been that. There's now 100 groups that come along for stalls. There's 60 meetings. We've spent the last 2 or 3 years trying to make the book fair far more accessible and friendly for people with disabilities. We have signers there. We'll have people who can touch type. We'll have people who volunteer to walk around stalls with people who have got hearing or sight impairments. So it's slow, but it's becoming more and more friendly for people with disabilities. We'll look at, you know, we try and bring people from abroad a lot more. So every year we'll try and bring one or two people over. And in the coming year, we're hoping to bring an ex-Black Panther over who's turned anarchist, who's in the States. And we're hoping to bring the Shack Dwellers movement from South Africa over. We've tried to look about how we make the book fair more inclusive. And just want it to be, you know, the meetings are... So a lot of us that are in the organising group now, the meetings are more important than they used to be. They were sort of an add-on, whereas now we want the meetings to be quite an important part of the book fair. And if you have an hour of a meeting, you can only touch on a subject. But hopefully the idea is to get non-anarchists in. Where it used to be a lot more anarchists coming together and socialising and meeting, and that's really important. I think over the last 4 or 5 years, we're trying to get speakers in and trying to think of ways of getting people who are not anarchists to come in and see what we're all saying. And our job is to get people in. All the groups that come along, it's their job to then sell anarchism to people and say why they should come along. And last year, again, we had an introduction to anarchism meeting, which we had ages ago and then we stopped doing it. And we're going to try and do it every year now so that new people that come along, there's a meeting where they can just come and find out about what we all mean.
Do you need help always every year to facilitate it and to help organise and things like that? And on the day, do you always look for volunteers?
Putting a plug in for HSG and what was WAG. Over the last few years, people from Hangay Solidarity Group and WAG have been great and have helped set up and helped clear up. We're always looking for people to help out. As a collective, there's about 6 of us, and we're not saying people can't get involved, but the 6 of us, it's an admin job, really, and the 6 of us can organise it. We're not saying it's the Anarchist Book Fair. It's Anarchist Book Fair. It's not the book fair of us 6. But we'd rather see other people, instead of having 50 people involved in organising the book fair, we'd rather see the other 46 go out and do other stuff. But we want people to organise meetings, and we want interesting meetings, and we want people in groups to come along and you know, have stalls. And I suppose the one thing that is always, always good, and we can't do it, and it's a plug, is the venue gets more expensive every year. And it's more, to keep the costs of stalls and meetings down, if anyone can do benefit gigs for us, that would be fantastic, because the venue's just, you know, it costs us $7,000 or $8,000 to put on the book fair, and we're always wary that we could be short of money. So yeah, if people want to get in contact, you know, get in contact via the website for speakers. If people want to get involved, give us a call. You know, we're not saying people shouldn't get involved. It's just, we can do the admin. You come along, do the meetings.
Yeah, you do the boring things. Yeah. And then the people can do the interesting, fun things, I guess.
And people should be involved in their, you know, their, whether it's national organisations, single issue stuff, local groups. We want people to be doing that stuff, not we take away all their energies just organising a book fair.
And lastly, you're also doing a lot with the Legal Defence Monitoring Group, which over the last couple of years has had has led to you getting more and more involved and having your hands full because of the student demos and the August uprising. How important do you see this role, and with the kids as well, with the riots, what how have you been able to effectively kind of reach out?
Not that we are getting people to go on the streets, you know, people go on the streets for their own reasons, but as a movement, as an anarchist movement, as a libertarian movement, whatever we call ourselves, I think it's really important we support people that do get nicked. Even if you're a hardened activist, it's still quite scary being pulled by the police and being nicked. When you've got a lot of people on the student demos, the anti-cuts demos, who are just getting into politics and they get arrested, it's shit scary. And a lot of people don't know their rights. They don't know what to do in the police station. Once they get out of the police station, they don't know where to go to for solicitors. What Legal Defence and Monitoring Group is doing and has been doing for about 15, 16 years, and Green and Black Cross now is getting involved in as well, is trying to give people their legal rights, giving out bus cards on demonstrations, giving out no comment booklet, just having a visible presence so people feel there's others on their side who are supporting them, trying to get people to say no comment in police stations so that people don't grasp themselves up and put their foot in it. And, you know, I don't want anyone to go to prison, but and some people might have done things they're being accused of and I want to get them off, but there's a number of people who did nothing and are being found guilty. You know, one of the reasons I got involved, I remember getting arrested and standing up in court and two coppers lied. They lied like mad about me and I had no witnesses and I got found guilty. And it's like, you stand there and think, I've got nothing, you know, I can't do anything in it in this court.
It's quite like, powerless.
Yeah, yeah. So the idea is that we try and get witnesses, we will go to court and support people, we make sure people are happy with their solicitors. It's just solidarity, you know. It's like ABC do, Anarchist Black Cross do, for people in prison. It's that solidarity with people that are inside. Our solidarity is from, you know, before people are arrested, on demos, and when they get arrested, hopefully get off. But if they do go down, at least giving them information that they will need to know to deal with prison, and then Anarchist Black Cross deal with it, you know, and we work with Anarchist Black Cross as well. It's just we have to support each other, you know, and it's like we need to support each other if people get evicted from their housing, we need to support people if they get evicted, sacked from their jobs or have hassle at work. We also need to support people that get nicked. So that's, you know, what LDMG is doing. I'm also involved with something called the Tottenham Defence Campaign. And that was after the riots in August. And I suppose I'm involved as with sort of having a solidarity group hat on, but also Legal Defence Monitoring Group sort of hat on. And we're working, you know, it's a number of people around Tottenham, and was started by some of the sort of black activists that were involved after the Bulwark Farm riots, and the arrest of three guys then. And we're just trying to do the same sort of thing as LDMG do for protesters, for anyone that gets nicked or pulled after the riots. But as LDMG, we know, you know, we're small. There's not enough of us. So we're not doing stuff riot-related London-wide. We just haven't got... We'd love to do it. We haven't got the ability and the numbers.
Okay, yeah. Well, we're done. Thank you very much for agreeing to do the interview. You've been listening to Resonance 104.4 FM on the Circle Day. Next week, we have on the Albert Camus Society. Tomorrow, they'll be giving a talk at Houseman Bookshop, if that interests you. A viewing tip is on BBC iPlayer, a film documentary called If a Tree Falls. It is a story of the Earth Liberation Front. Recommended viewing. Until next week, turn on, tune in, and kick off.